Today-ish episode one is finally here, and since President Trump told the world to forget about the Epstein list and to stop talking about it, that's all James and I did.
Yup, we sure did. And not only that, we went deep into Peter Thiel, who we think might be Epstein 2.0.
We also talked about your TikTok ban and how that's all related.
Yeah, I have some interesting theories about what's going on there, Danny.
Anyways, you guys, we hope you enjoy the conversation. Thank you for subscribing. And let us know what you think about all of this down below.
Oh, wow.
The benefit of this side.
Good to know for the future. If I decide to change.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready? Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Today-ish episode one.
Episode one. Exciting. Let's go.
Before we get started, I just want to say thank you to all of our followers who have subscribed and supported us so early on. I'm so humbled by it and so grateful. It's just really overwhelming in like the best way.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for believing in us, and for those naysayers as well, you know, stay tuned. We might surprise you.
Yes. But for the people that know me, you know I'm a little loud and a little extra, and that those of you that don't, hopefully you learn to love it, but I am aware that that is how I am, so.
And I'm just trying not to get banned from any more platforms.
Okay, we need to start with that. The TikTok ban that happened over the weekend.
Over the weekend, yes. So I posted this video, which we will play in a second, but I'm insinuating that Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, might be getting caught up in some kind of Mossad honeypot situation.
And you thought that TikTok wouldn't ban you for posting this video.
You know, I think I just got too cocky, flew too close to the sun, possibly. Even though I have to say, we'll watch it, but I was pretty mild. I stuck to the facts for the most part. And I don't know. I think, so let me just tell you what happened is that I posted it, and that video immediately started going viral. Because sometimes on TikTok, you post it, it starts to show it to different cohorts of audiences. And I remember posting, it was like in the afternoon or the evening. And I looked, it was like, okay, 50,000 views. I was like, oh, wow.
Like this is popping.
It's popping off. And then 20 minutes later, it's like 140,000. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And huge. So then I went to bed. I'm like, this is good. This is good.
Yes. Best feeling.
And then I woke up. So what happens when you get banned, I guess, is like you open up the app, which is what I do. I think I'm addicted. That's my first thing in the morning. Is like I wake up, I just check.
I know. I'm bad with that too. And they say like all of the sleep experts,
that's good.
The worst thing to do.
Yeah, because I look at it before I go to bed. And the first thing I wake up is like checking social media, which is not ideal.
No.
Probably for your mental health or anything like that. But I open up the app. And it just logs you out. Just immediately says, boom, your account is banned. And then that's it. And so.
And there's no like appeal in that situation.
There is an appeal situation.
Okay.
So I appealed it, which didn't work, by the way. They rejected my appeal. So at this moment.
Immediately, or did it take a while?
24 hours.
Okay.
They said, okay, we're going to review it. And I just said that I'm, you know, high quality videos. I'm a journalist, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what happened next was. Okay, so I'm like, why did it get banned?
Yeah.
I was like, it has to be this video because it's the only one that I've posted because my account is in good standing. I'm not like you. You have like two strikes. You're about
to go. Thank you for calling me out. I have two strikes, but they are supposed to fall off at the end of this month. So I've been staying in line doing a lot of like STEM videos.
Right.
And staying away from Israel and Mossad, unlike you.
And I didn't think that that would be a problem. Apparently it is, but let's take a look at this video.
Okay.
I just want everybody. So now that they're banning me, I'm like, okay, now let's play the video.
Now let's double down and play it. Okay. Let's watch this.
Is the director of the FBI caught up in an Israeli honeypot operation? All right, here's the context. Quote, some social media users have wondered whether the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department's refusal to release the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients could have something to do with Alexis Wilkins, the 26-year-old girlfriend of 45-year-old FBI director Kash Patel. This is what people online are pointing to, the fact that Patel's girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, works for PragerU, which is a media company that supposedly espouses American values, except for the fact that it is run by a former Israeli military intelligence officer.
Awesome.
Now, I did a bunch of digging, and unfortunately, there's actually not a lot of public information to go off of in terms of Alexis Wilkins' background. Now, what I was able to find is that her father worked for Gillette and that her mother was in aerospace and pharmaceuticals. It also says that they lived in England and Switzerland before settling in Fayetteville, Arkansas when she was 9. It also says that she attended College du Limon International School in Switzerland. Now, interestingly, ChatGPT is calling this a strange biographical gap in that she has no visible friend network or public high school college cohort interviews, which they say is unusual for a public figure in entertainment, and that if a Mossad asset were inserted early in life, these gaps would be precisely where you'd hide alternate history or handler training. Dr. Simon Goddick says that Alexis Wilkins is nearly 20 years younger than Cash and also works for an NGO that's basically Israeli intelligence, that's PragerU that he's referring to. And he says, seriously, why would an attractive young woman date a not-so-attractive Indian-American? Classic honeypot. I mean, I don't know. Who are we to really judge what people are attracted to and not attracted to? Anyway, I'm not sure what's true or what's not true, but evidently these are, quote, classic elements used in honeypot operations: soft power, ideological alignment, and sexual emotional entanglement. Let me know what you think.
Was that bad?
No,
what did I say?
What
did I say in there that was crossing the line?
I mean, if you want to dissect the video, you know, slide by slide, I could go there, but I actually don't think it was bad. You weren't saying 100% this is what she is, right? Now, I will say I'm not completely sold from the ChatGPT evidence of where she lived that she is an Israeli spy. Personally, I think that's a reach, and I am the queen of reaches. So I can go down that rabbit hole and be like, honeypot, totally get it. But I do think that it caught fire so quickly because people notice that that relationship is inauthentic in some way, like 100%.
I didn't say that necessarily.
No, but I am. I think that's why it caught fire. I think people from the beginning have looked at Cash Patel. I did, for example, like when he was, you know, first being talked about being the director of the FBI, and we had all these clips from the podcasts that were popping up where at the time he was saying, you know, we're going to make the Epstein list available and I'm going to get in the intelligence community and I'm going to strengthen the trust between America and the intelligence community. Hasn't been a great ride so far, but I was like, wow, who is this guy? Like, and of course, maybe it's just being a girl. I was like, who's his wife? Who's he married to? How many kids does he have? Everything's been scrubbed from the internet of his marital, if there was a marriage, if there was a girlfriend, if there ever was anything. And it just reeks as fake to me because the only pictures that are ever together of the two of them are at these GOP events, right? There's not one picture you can find of them like kissing, not even like a cheek or a forehead pic, no holding hands pic. So it's like, if he is this big nerd, he got this hot girl 20 years younger, wouldn't you be like all over that? I mean, it's just a little odd that their pictures are together with just like a thumbs up with Trump. And so I feel that regardless the reason that this might be some sort of a Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce fake relationship, I think that she's probably in it to promote her country career and he is hiding something.
For the record, I think Taylor Swift loves Travis Kelce and vice versa. But
okay.
That's neither here nor there.
Okay. And for the record, I don't like her. I don't think her music is good. And I think that it is a full-on fake relationship.
Agree to disagree on that front. But
who knew you were a Swiftie?
Yeah, in this situation, what I will say is I don't know for a fact that she's like she's pulling some kind of string behind the scenes to get me banned and taken offline and things like that. But what I do know is that I got a bunch of messages from PragerU, a few messages from PragerU people.
Okay.
And they're not happy with me saying that their organization is an extension of Mossad because they're like, well, I work at PragerU. Like, does that mean I'm a Mossad agent too? And I said, well, you know, it's not a great situation when you're working for a media company that is supposedly espousing and promoting traditional American values, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But then your CEO is like literally a former Israeli intelligence officer, unit 8200 in the IDF, which is basically the NSA of Israel. So why would you have somebody like that lead a company that is American?
And I mean, that happens, right? Like, that's not necessarily a direct link. But I think also you did a good job in the story by just saying that, you know, the leader of the company has that background, because a lot of people on X and these different, you know, social media platforms have been saying that Alexis is that same lady and that she served in the IDF and all of this stuff. And so I think there was like a lot of misinformation going around about her. And then, you know, she maybe did report you and say like, this is defamatory, you know, because she's out here and she's promoting herself all red, white, and blue. I'm a Jesus lover, Trump supporter, right? She's also Armenian. And, you know, I have family members that are Armenian. They're not the biggest fans of Israel. So you could have like just really offended her. And she just wanted that story taken down.
Perhaps. I've talked to two people that I trust a whole lot. And they've given me two accounts of Alexis in terms of like what her personality is like. One says the only time that she interacted with her, she basically straight up called her an anti-Semite just as an opening, which is wild.
Wow.
And I have another friend who I trust a lot, who apparently evidently knows her and her family really well. And he's telling me, no, she's a really nice person. I know her family. She's sweet. She's smart. And now I'm like, all right, let's sit down for a conversation. So right now I'm like, hey, reach out to her. Happy to talk to her.
To bring her on?
Yeah. Happy to talk to her.
We'll promote your country music.
And I'm like, all right. So I'm like, she's probably pissed at me, but I'm open to having my mind changed, right? I mean, if you sit down with me, I'm happy to chat with you. You know, no hard feelings to Alexis in any situation. I don't think she's like a bad person, you know? I mean, Everybody's got to play a part, even if you're, you know, doing a honeypot. You're just, you're doing your thing. No hate to that.
I don't know that she's going to come on after this conversation, but I mean, yeah, I would love to talk to her too. I think she's very pretty and I think she has an amazing voice. And when Kash Patel was confirmed, that was like the video that was put up of her singing the national anthem. I mean, she's very good. But when you look at the relationship and you see that, you know, there is no past boyfriends for her online. I mean, there's just no trail of any previous relationships for them. Do you feel like it is an authentic relationship?
Well, I don't know. Maybe people are private online. I'm pretty private, right? Nobody really knows anything about me. So you could also insinuate that I am a Chinese spy, which I get all the time, by the way. And I just say maybe, because you never know.
Oh, wow.
I just say maybe, because I mean, I would say, okay, if they wanted to hire a Chinese spy, you'd probably just get somebody that's like less Chinese looking. You know, I'll get you. You could be a good Chinese spy.
Oh, yes. I would be great.
Yes. You're a foot soldier for the CCP.
I love it. Inch high private eye coming in at 5'1". But yeah, I just think that there is something weird going on with that relationship. And I do think it's a front. You know, the Wall Street Journal earlier this year reported that Kash Patel wants to live part-time in Las Vegas, right? Not a big deal, except that the federal government was saying everybody a part of the federal government needs to be in the office, right? And, you know, there was a lot of rumors going around that, you know, he lives with this Muldoon, Michael Muldoon character who's a big GOP supporter. So people were like, you're 45 and you live with a dude. And I went down that rabbit hole a little bit, but I don't think that's what this is.
And I don't care if you're 45 or 26. I don't have any problems with like age gaps. Doesn't matter, right? I'm watching, you know, Bachelor in Paradise right now. I'm hoping there's like a young crowd, old crowd. I'm like, I'm hoping they intermingle. I don't care about that. I'm just asking, hey, is our government potentially being infiltrated and compromised? That's all I'm saying.
Yes. And I don't think that it is, but I do think that Kash Patel is very smart and that he might be having some sort of a deal with this Alexis character to hide his family. And I know that sounds like another reach, and it is, I will admit that, but you're wanting to go to Vegas. You've scrubbed the internet of anything about your personal life. And I think it's because Kash Patel is very smart and he knew if he had his family online working as the director of the FBI, the government and the deep state is like the mob, right? Like they know you have family. They're calling you up and they're like, if you release the list, they're all done. right? So I think that this relationship, and part of the reason why it went so viral, of course, people love the, you know, Israeli spy line as well. But I think people intuitively feel that it is a fake relationship. It just doesn't look like it matches up. And as I was doing my deep dive with Kash Patel, I found out that he is an author, and I'm not talking about government gangsters, which he promotes on every single podcast. Most people probably don't know that Kash Patel is the author of not one, but three children's books.
It's a trilogy. You got to do
it's
three.
It's a trilogy. So it's called The Plot Against the King, and it's about basically like Russiagate. And he has Trump as the king, and then he's made himself a wizard in the background, okay? He's wearing the cloak, the robe, he's got a wand in his hand, he's got the big pointy hat. I just feel as a 45-year-old guy in the intelligence community, you're either a creep for writing three children's books, or more likely, you have kids and you had them in mind, and that's why you were writing the book. So I think Kash Patel might have a secret family. I think that's why.
Allegedly, guys.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. This is episode one here.
And we haven't even gotten into what could actually get us killed. But anyways, I, you know, after your story, I started looking at this relationship and I'm like, there is something weird. Like everybody that's saying the age gap, I agree. Women have been doing that forever. Oh, one other thing I found that's super weird, like, okay, maybe they have their social media scrubbed, but Alexis's best friend is married to Dane Cook.
Is that right?
Yes. And they had like a very small intimate wedding in Hawaii during the time that it is reported that Kash Patel and Alexis are like hot and heavy. They had like a 30-person ceremony. The bride, Alexis's best friend, Dane Cook's wife, had her sister and Alexis's bridesmaids. Like this wasn't a wedding where there's eight bridesmaids, there's 200 people. It was like a 30-person ceremony. I'll pull this up for you. I found in Chai Private Eye, found the picture of their wedding. Guess what? No Kash Patel.
Was he busy? Maybe he was trying to find the list.
He wasn't even, you know what I mean? I'm just saying like you have this hot young girlfriend. Yeah. You're going to a wedding. Everybody loves that. If you're in love, like what better place than be at a wedding, you know? Oh, honey, you look so good walking down the aisle. Like you're going to skip that opportunity if you have this hot piece.
Hey, I love weddings.
I love weddings.
It's my favorite thing to go to. I will, you know, I'm there at the bar. I'm on the dance floor, especially if there's a live band. I'm there.
Oh, I'm definitely on the dance floor. I will tear it up on the dance floor. But anyways, with Kash Patel, it has just been crazy what has gone on in the last 10 days in the news.
Well, we went, just to recap everybody, in a matter of like 6 months, we've gone from J.D. Vance going on Theo Von saying, we need to release the list.
Yes.
To then Pam Bondi comes in, first month of office, doing the whole thing with the binders and saying, the list is on my desk.
That was cheesy when it happened, but now it's so
bad.
But
they said they framed that as part one, Epstein Files part one.
Right.
And so we're like, okay. We've seen this part already, so let's do part two. And then part two comes out. Kash Patel goes on Joe Rogan and says, there is no list. Like, I've given you everything. Would I hide anything? And I'm like, yeah, probably, maybe.
Right, like, you have not built the trust with us yet because you've gone on podcasts and spoken the truth before you were in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. He also said that Epstein didn't kill himself, or that Epstein did kill himself. But we basically know that he didn't, right? There were the three fractures in the neck that these longstanding autopsy specialist said that is consistent with what they do in the military. Boom, karate chop hit, put you out of your memory, break your windpipe, put you out of your misery, break your windpipe, and then snap your neck. There was so many weird things about that. And I think it was like Tucker Carlson did a deep dive about that with Epstein's brother, Mark Epstein. And they, you know, erased the 911 call there. They took him to the infirmary instead of letting the, you know, paramedics pick him up. There were so many weird things about that. And by the way, the autopsy people first said it was pending. They didn't say it was suicide, and they basically just ruled it a suicide because he supposedly tried to kill himself before, even though Epstein said, no, I was beat up in jail. I would never kill myself, but I'm not going to be a rat in jail and had told his lawyer that. So well, why would he kill himself
if there's no crime?
True. And also,
the list was made up by Obama, which is the new thing now.
Oh, my God. I mean, we'll get into that. But yeah, I mean, also, why would he kill himself when he was 3 days away from a new bail meeting where he might have been getting out of jail?
Exactly. Especially if there's no evidence, like they're saying, we don't have anything to convict anybody. Right.
The whole thing is just so stupid. But I just think people are so focused on the list that it's like, you know, I think the guy could be, personally, everybody's like, well, he's dead no matter what. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. How many islands are around? He could be, you know, sitting somewhere with a Mai Tai and some 14-year-old girls. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not even convinced he's dead.
Yeah, he might not be dead. Trump might have killed him. We don't even know what's going on. But I mean, here's the stuff that we do know that everybody's still kind of, you know, just, they're still focusing on the quote unquote lists. But I think, okay, we more or less know, like you said, he probably didn't kill himself. Okay.
Definitely not hit.
And then the other thing is we already kind of also know that it's not just prostitution. There's some more things going on like blackmail, intelligence asset. There's just so much history and evidence of like him being tied to four different Israeli prime ministers, like all that stuff. Is like, is he working for Israel? Probably. That's not even the questions. I mean, to me, that's not the question that we should be asking. It's whether or not, are we going to like convict anybody? Did they traffic on behalf to people? Like presumably these girls have to be trafficked for a reason. And it's all these dudes that are creeps and wanting to have sex with underage girls or get massages from them or whatever. There has to be those people. So like, who are those people?
I mean, look, I think majority of the country, and we can see this too with some of the like big MAGA people coming out and saying like, we don't believe this, release the list. I think most people know that Epstein worked for intelligence, whether it was just the United States or the United States and Israel, whatever it was, that this was a setup for Epstein to get these high profile individuals, celebrities, politicians, businessmen and women, you know, in compromising situations so that they could control, you know, the narrative, whatever that may be, by utilizing these high profile people to say, hey, we want this person to be elected president. We need you to speak out or else your tape's being released, right? So we all know that. That's basically like common sense now. So it's really stupid. And I'm surprised that this administration run by Trump, who's such a smart marketer and brander, whether or not you like the guy, he's genius. Look at everybody wearing a red hat, MAGA. I mean, you even had Javier Milei in Argentina steal it and he won the election. Make Argentina great again. I mean, he's a genius with that kind of stuff. He had to know that this was not going to go over well. And I've said time and time again, if he would have just come out and said, you know what? We've reviewed everything and it would compromise our national security. So maybe in 20 years, you guys will get the information. But right now it's not happening. I think people would have been like, oh, that sucks. And then a day later, like, I get it, whatever. Or just throw us Bill Gates, right? Throw us a bone, let us stone him in the public square. And like, we're all good. We get rid of a pedophile and GMO mosquitoes and appeal all in one. But, you know,
they're going a different route. I want to read some of this tweet. It's a very long tweet, so I'm not going to read the whole thing.
I mean, read the whole thing.
I'm going to read parts of it because it's pretty good.
Okay.
All right. So Donald Trump, this is I think the first time that he's ever been ratioed on Truth Social.
And what does ratioed mean?
Ratioed means that there are more comments than likes, meaning that people are not agreeing with what he's saying, basically.
So this is probably a hard pill for him to swallow.
Well, I have to see. I think they're doing some adjustments, but I want to read this because this is his path is saying, what's going on, my boys? And in some cases, gals. We have a perfect administration, the talk of the world, and selfish people are trying to hurt it all over a guy who never dies, Jeffrey Epstein. For years, it's Epstein over and over again. Why are we giving publicity to files written by Obama, Cricket Hillary, Comey, Brennan, and the losers and criminals of the Biden administration? I mean, this is insane. And he goes on, 1 year ago, our country was dead. Now it's the hottest country in the world. Let's keep it that way and not waste time and energy on Jeffrey Epstein, somebody that nobody cares about.
It's just so bad.
It's not. I want to read one of the responses that one of his diehards wrote back. And this person, Dwayne Sykes, he writes back, quote, this is going to cost you so many supporters. I being one of them, I have been to multiple rallies and even was there on January 6th. This is one of the main things that needs to be fixed. Our two-tiered system of justice needs to end. We, the people, are tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's ridiculous, especially because he spent years campaigning on this, right? He was saying, we're going to release the list and, you know, calling out Hillary for possibly being involved with some shady stuff. But I think to say that Crooked Hillary had anything to do with writing the list, like, what, she's going to implicate her husband?
Yeah.
Like, unless she really hates him, which she might after the blowy by Monica. I don't know. Maybe this is payback. But I just think it's a little, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little much.
Monica Lewinsky may have also, this is an aside, I don't want to get too deep into this, but she may have also been a Mossad agent. I'm just going to put that out
You think Monica Lewinsky's a Mossad agent now?
Yeah.
Surprise. No, I'm just kidding.
And I don't think so. This is well sourced from multiple books and reported in Israeli newspapers, Times of Israel, Jerusalem Post. You can look it up.
I mean, this is news to me. I didn't know. But either way, you know, she, you know, we know what she did with Bill. And that's the only reason Hillary would put him in the file, right? Like, you publicly shamed me.
Yeah, yeah.
But realistically, this is just, I don't know what this is. It's just a bunch of bullshit.
I think this is one of those things, like myself with the TikTok ban, I got too cocky, flying too close to the sun. This is maybe a similar situation.
So you think you and DJT are kind of on the same path right now, just different paths.
Right. I'm getting canceled. He's maybe, you know, in the process of getting canceled. I don't know. I do know Benny Johnson reported just yesterday that there's some kind of new thing happening, a special counsel looking into how we can get these files released.
Just say we can't do it, right? Like, to me, you know, it seems as though they all had good intentions, right?
Who's they?
This administration. Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino. I have to say it like that because I messed up his name the other day and everybody's like, you butchered that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Dan Bongino, all of these people that came out and said, we're going to get the list. Trump, too. Trump, you know, obviously talking about it, going, you know, campaigning with Tucker Carlson. They're going to release the list. To me, the mob came out. I can't even use the word deep state anymore because I'm getting so fatigued by the word deep state. Who is the deep state? Are they the deep state? I think it's more likely that whoever is pulling the strings that doesn't want this information released said, you release the list, we're killing you and your families.
So you don't think it's a cynical ploy before the election to win votes? To say, hey, the Democrats, they're the crooked party. They're hiding pedophiles in the office and this and that. And we're going to be the ones to clean out, drain the swamp.
I think there was so much going on that, yes, of course, that was buzzwords and that was hype that people loved, right? But I think there were so many bigger issues that were going on during the campaign that they didn't necessarily need the Epstein stuff in order to win. Obviously, RFK Jr. joining President Trump, for me, and I think many other people that are independent, sealed the deal. So that, to me, like, if you were to say, oh, RFK Jr. didn't join Trump, I would say, yeah, I don't know that he would have won. But not campaigning on the Epstein files, I don't know if that would have made a difference. You had open borders. You had videos on X of, like, caravans of millions of military-aged men crossing the borders. You had, you know, these candidates that were coming out, Mr. Jazz Hands Tim Walz, going out and saying, your freedom of speech is allowed unless it comes to misinformation, which basically means that this administration was going to censor everything that we say or doing. I know I'm talking to you during a little bit of a tough time since you just got taken off of TikTok about censorship, but, you know, TikTok is still around. That wouldn't have been the case if Kamala Harris was our president. And obviously, like, the woke trans, you know, library reads happening in the second grade. I don't think people were happy about that. And kindergarten teachers saying, you know, to kindergartners, do you identify as a cat, dog, a boy or a girl or a goose?
Well, this is, I think, one of the biggest problems that they're dealing with because they spent so many years fixating on, hey, this is a big issue. We must protect children, right? This is one of the core tenets of, I would say, the conservative movement is protecting children. The issue you named with trans, even though some people may not agree with that, that's the core of that issue, is that we should protect children. That's the core of the abortion issues. We should protect children. This issue as well, we should protect children from these insane, creepy pedophiles that are in leadership and government and also in big tech companies, which we'll talk about, which is our, you know, the big thing that we're going to be revealing about Peter Thiel, how he might be Epstein 2.0 reincarnated.
Diving deep in.
Yeah. But the point is, that is a core tenet of the conservative movement. And to say that doesn't matter is like a big, you know, I don't know what you call it, like spitting in their face or it just,
well, that's
there's no
why
congruency
the messaging
in that.
Is so bad. That's why I'm saying if like, he would have just come out and said, attention, America, I came into the office, I wanted to do this, but after further review, it has been brought to my attention that this would compromise our national security. We're not getting the Epstein list this year. We might not get it for 5, 6, 10 years. I think then people would be like more understanding, right? It's like, and then if you were to say, but this administration has, you know, made all these strides in saving children. We've found all of these, you know, situations where kids were being kept. We've saved them. Because there are a lot of instances like that. I think people would be like, okay, that's in the past. Let's move forward and let's do better. But this bullshit that, why are we still talking about this? Like, because you talked about it. You ran on it. Like, it's just the biggest gaslighting in history.
People are pissed, right?
Yeah, people are just unhappy with the messaging and what is going on right now with these Epstein files. And I think that they're totally warranted in those beliefs.
Yeah, right. So many in the MAGA coalition are sort of turning against Trump. There's some people, for example, the Podcast Bros.
Which I'm surprised by, I have to be honest. Like when I saw Benny Johnson come out and be like, hold on, I was actually kind of shocked by that.
Yeah, they're going to do it at first and then they're going to realign. But I think there are some people out there like who you talked about. These are, I would say, more of the conservative influencers like the TPUSA people, Benny Johnson, Charlie Kirk, right? But over the weekend, they had that huge event. Young conservatives are out there saying, hey, Trump is now a part of the deep state. I saw an interview where this dude did a random guy. He's at the, and he's being interviewed by Steve Bannon because he was just trying to get the feelings of the crowd. And he was like, yeah, Trump is a part of the deep state. He didn't do this stuff. The Podcast Bros are also, hey, this is not what I voted for, right? I wanted the Epstein files. I want this and that. He's not doing it. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, these are two big figures in the conservative movement now, pretty critical of his foreign policy, continuing the war with Ukraine and Iran. And I think this is kind of fueling a potential bad news cycle for Trump, right? And there was a particular article that was out there saying, hey, Trump challenges to the MAGA base expose divisions, okay? So I want to read to you some of this stuff because it's interesting who's covering it and who's not. So at the top of the list, right, they're pissed off, like what we talked about with the FBI, Justice Department, Epstein case. And here's what Newsweek had to say. They said, quote, the manosphere starts to turn on Trump. USA Today, Trump at odds with MAGA movement on multiple fronts. The Hill, Trump's challenges to MAGA base expose divisions. But if you notice something, all of that is from either the center or the left.
I mean, of course, they love this is their dream, right?
Yeah. So there's been 17 articles written about this and zero of them are categories on the right.
They can taste the blood in the water.
And the reason why we have this data point is because of Ground News, our favorite news aggregator and also our amazing sponsor for today.
Ground News is a platform that makes it easy to compare news sources, read between the lines of media bias, and break free from the algorithms. With any given news story, you can see the bias distribution, whether it's going to be covered more from liberal-aligned outlets, like what you were just talking about, or conservative-aligned outlets. There's also their patented blind spot feature, which identifies which stories are being exclusively covered by one side and completely ignored by the other side. You can also customize your feed based on whatever topics you're interested in.
Yeah, for me, what I love about the most is I'm trying to always get to the bottom of things. I want to see what people are talking about. I want to read all sides. I'm passionate about not just giving people information, but also kind of teaching them how to fish as well. I don't want to just catch the fish for them. This is an opportunity for you to kind of catch your own fish. So you can see what people are writing from different viewpoints, which side might be lying, and then also discover stories on Ground News that you might be missing that's being covered in parts of the world that maybe are talking about a particular issue, but it's not being covered in another part of the world. So that's also really interesting to see, right? Here you could see, like with that story about Epstein, the right doesn't want to cover. They don't want to cover that the MAGA base is turning on Trump.
Yeah. So we would highly recommend you subscribe to Ground News, and we've negotiated a great deal for you, 40% off the Vantage Plan subscription, which is unlimited access for just $5 a month. To get that discount, you can use link groundnews.com/todayish. No promo code necessary. Just go to groundnews.com/todayish and click to subscribe.
Do it now.
Okay, so when it comes to the whole Epstein thing, obviously everybody's talking about it, and it kind of feels a little bit like an echo chamber, right? Where everybody's like, release the list, release the list. And then people are bringing up people that we believe as, you know, American citizens are obviously on the list. Everybody's talking about everybody that we already know, right? Like Ellen DeGeneres fled the United States. She's obviously on the list. Her set looked just like Jeffrey Epstein's little St. James Island, and Bill and Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates and all these people that have been circulating for over a decade. And I just think it would be interesting to tell the audience what you and I have uncovered about somebody that might not be being mentioned or named that recently, like in the last week, has been brought up by the New York Times, Peter Thiel, as having connections with Jeffrey Epstein. And I think this web goes a little deep. So
I mean, I think Peter Thiel is literally the incarnation or reincarnation Jeffrey Epstein, still alive.
I thought you were going to try to not fly too close to the sun.
Well, some issues are just too important. We have to talk about it. And just to introduce for people who Peter Thiel is.
Yes.
Right. Because I think people may have heard of him in passing.
Yeah, and like, I think he's done a good job of staying under the radar. I didn't really know too much about him until the last few years.
Up until recently, it seems like all these crazy billionaires at some point aren't happy enough just being billionaires. They also need to be in the public eye. You know, they can't just do things from the shadows. They got to be out there giving interviews and this and that. But in terms of the background on Peter Thiel, he co-founded PayPal with Elon Musk and a few other people.
Okay.
He also was the first big investor into Facebook, which, by the way, you know, I don't know how many people know this, but Facebook was founded the same day that DARPA discontinued their LifeLog program. Have you heard of the LifeLog program?
No. What?
The LifeLog program, okay, is a project within DARPA that was, quote, able to trace the threads of an individual's life in terms of events, states, and relationships. So basically, catalogs your life. And what does Facebook do?
Dude, I've been saying this for a while. I need to delete my Facebook, but that they probably already have it in the cloud. It doesn't matter at this point, but that is insane.
Just look it up, Google it.
And also, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about Zuckerberg being tied in with all of our intelligence agencies. So I feel like that is probably one of the main points that lead people on this path. Like, why would you end that DARPA program the day that Facebook begins?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's the fact. That's
okay.
The dates
are
true.
Interesting.
I don't know all the conversation behind the scenes, but Peter Thiel is definitely tied into U.S. intelligence. He's also the founder of Palantir, which is a data analytics company that tracks all of your...
And surveils us.
Surveils us, and it's tied into the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, ICE, as well as the IDF.
There it is. And of course, he's also known for supporting J.D. Vance and Donald Trump and a lot of other political figures, right?
Yes. And he's also into crazy sex stuff, okay?
Okay. I did not know this about him.
All right. I'm quoting now mainstream sources. All right. I don't want to get in trouble. This is Ben Goggins from NBC News saying
I mean, NBC. NBC. You got to be safe with NBC.
Yeah. He says, quote, Thiel's parties have been legendary in gay circles for years and repeatedly characterized as debaucherous. And he's also wrote a book, Thiel did, sort of claiming that his personal feelings towards date rape it's just belated regret.
I'm sorry, is that a quote?
I can read the exact quote for you. I can find it. That's the gist of it.
Really, really bad.
But he's okay. Just for the record, he later said, "I apologize for that." And I.
Oh well, that makes it all better.
I didn't mean it like that.
Wow, very interesting. Well, I do know that when it comes to a sex life, but I didn't think this was that crazy because I think a lot of billionaires obviously have like a side piece. He did have a lover called Jeff Thomas.
Okay.
He called himself, actually, Jeff Thomas did, you know, interviews, and he said, you know, I am a kept man. And he basically said, look, I decided, what's the price to be Peter Thiel's open secret lover? And he bought me a $30 million house, $13 million house in LA, and I drive a $350,000 car. So
good for him.
He was like, I signed up. Like, it's like an open thing. But the crazy thing,
what's the downside of this?
With this whole situation is obviously Peter Thiel is married, and Peter Thiel got married to Matt Danzianson, not sure how you say his name, in 2017, but he met this, you know, side piece of his in 2015, 2016, and they had this affair, open affair, which, you know, maybe they just have an open relationship. Maybe it's not even an affair, all the way through COVID. And when he does this article, he's talking to the interviewers and he's like, you know, I really tried to get Peter away from backing President Trump and changed his mind on some things and da da da. Obviously, he had gone too far. So this guy, Jeff Thomas, very attractive man. Obviously, Peter Thiel is going to go for the creme de la creme, right? And get the finest looking man. Decides at some point, look, I don't want to be your side piece anymore. He moves out of the house in LA. He leaves and still is like friendly with the Thiels, goes to the New Year's Eve party. And next thing you know, in March, he's committed suicide. They say he fell off of a balcony taking a selfie picture. So
how is it that people
know
that are
much
tied to hire, you know, people who associate with these like billionaires or whatever you call these people, they have a high tendency of committing quote unquote suicide or some kind of really quick and sudden illness as well. Death from quick and sudden illness.
True. And like, you know, it's one of those things where like his friends were, you know, questioned about it. And they said, you know, I didn't think that Jeff was suicidal. I had talked to him a few days before and we were going to go to a baby shower together and he was all excited. But then the brother came out and said, like, you know, Jeff suffered from mental, you know, issues and, you know, substance abuse and just like definitely like said, like it was suicide. So who knows? But in terms of, you know, Peter Thiel's sex life, that's all I really know is that he had this lover that like mysteriously fell off of the balcony. And by the way, like the article that was written about this whole entire thing, it was because the Miami police were interviewing Thiel as a part of a probe into the sudden death of Jeff Thomas, a model and social media influencer that was his kept man. So it's out there.
It's out there. And what's also out there is Thiel's connection to Epstein.
Okay.
He has definitely, he's spoken about this a little bit. I want to play the Joe Rogan clip where he...
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
He goes over how he met Epstein and when he met Epstein, which is going to be critical here.
Oh.
You know, I met Epstein a few times as well. And I think...
How'd you get introduced?
It was Reid Hoffman in Silicon Valley introduced us in 2014. But it was basically, didn't ask any enough questions about it. I think there were sort of a lot of things where it was fraudulent. I do think Epstein knew a lot about taxes, and there were probably, you know, these complicated ways you could structure a nonprofit organization, especially as a way in a marital context that I think Epstein might have known a decent amount about.
How, when you were introduced to him?
Yeah, I don't think Epstein would have been able to, you know, comment on super string theory or
right.
something like that.
Right.
But I think this sort of thing he might have actually been pretty expert on.
When you were introduced to him, how was he described to you?
He was described as one of the smartest tax people in the world.
Interesting.
And I probably was my moral weakness that I.
Well, how could you have known back then? He had never been arrested.
No, this was post. This was 2014. It was post arrest.
Oh, so his arrest was the first arrest, right?
Yeah,
which was like 2007, 2008.
Okay, so
how bizarre was that exchange, first of all?
Okay, I've never seen that clip. And I mean, look, there's no doubt in my mind that Jeffrey Epstein was super smart, right? And he probably did know more than anybody about taxes. And that's probably how he lured some of these people into being on the list, right? And you and I have talked
even
about
after
this. There's a difference between getting a ride on a PJ, right, Lolita Express, and going to Little St. James Island and being a part of, you know, horrific acts with underage girls.
So would you go meet somebody and do a business deal with them if you knew a lot about taxes but was also a convicted child sex molester?
I don't think it would be a good idea. But also what I find interesting about that clip is that he said he was introduced by Reid Hoffman, right, who is the founder of LinkedIn, who Elon Musk, obviously, Peter Thiel's co-founder of PayPal, has said time and time again is on the list. And that is why Reid Hoffman, during the presidential election, was pumping so much. He was making it rain at the strip club like he was watching Black China, you know, trying to make sure that Kamala Harris pulled this thing out. And Elon said it's because he is guilty of doing horrific acts with underage girls. So I find it interesting that he admits that that was his introduction into Epstein, unless, of course, I don't know when this episode was.
This is last year. I don't know exactly when it was, but what I do want to say, though, I think he might have been not entirely truthful in terms of the tax situation. I think there's more to that story, which came out later in the New York Times this year, just last month, right? That interview is from last year. Now, just this month, the New York Times is reporting that in 2015 and 2016, Jeffrey Epstein put $40 million into two funds managed by Valor Ventures, a New York firm that was co-founded by Peter Thiel. And today that investment is now up to $170 million, according to confidential financial analysis of late Mr. Epstein's estate, reviewed by the New York Times and provided and a statement provided by the Valor spokesperson. And this has not been reported publicly until June of 2025.
Yeah, and it's
interesting. So I think it's more than just tax advice.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, look, you took money from a guy that is known around the world for running a sex trafficking ring with underaged girls. That had already been established when you went to the party with Reid Hoffman, who's supposedly on the list. And we're not talking about the flight logs. We're talking about the list, the little black book that they don't want to release, that they're telling us doesn't exist anymore.
The tapes, the 10,000 hours of tapes that supposedly Pam Bondi had.
Yeah. And so for me, you know, when I look at Peter Thiel, I look at this guy who is a self-proclaimed, you know, transhumanist, right? He wants to push forward a idea of humans combining with technology or AI or some weird different stuff.
Oh, wait. Before we get into the transhumanist, can I share one more thing about the connection between Peter Thiel and Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah.
Have you heard of this company called Carbon?
No.
Okay, so Carbon is an Israeli-founded tech company that develops real-time surveillance for emergency response systems.
Okay.
And this is from their description. It says they market themselves as a next-gen 911 platform with software that gives governments and agencies the ability to access your smartphone, camera, and mic in real time, ostensibly during an emergency call, quote unquote. And then what they do is they integrate biometric tracking, geolocation, and live streaming into a single feed sent directly to law enforcement and intelligence hubs.
So this is why he got the $40 million.
Hold on here. So
Epstein, now you have the Facebook cataloging everything we do, and you also have everything that we say.
Okay, so I haven't even told you who funded this thing.
Who?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay, I guessed.
Peter Thiel.
Okay.
And Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel.
Okay.
And it says here, multiple outlets and researchers have speculated that Epstein helped fund or promote Carbon through Barak, and that Carbon may be part of a wider Epstein tech pipeline used for influence, data capture, and compromat.
I mean, yeah, obviously they were.
There's something going on with these investments.
100%. I mean, they're in cahoots, even if it's just as business partners. But it is odd that it would be with and in a field that is surveilling citizens of the world, right?
Yeah.
Because information is power.
What better way to capture everybody's, you know, what better way to blackmail than being directly in their phones?
Yeah, I don't know that there is one.
For emergency response purposes. It's for your safety. It's always for your safety.
I mean, of course, it always is. But yeah, I mean, I think that, those are the ways that Epstein and Peter Thiel are connected. I don't think that Peter Thiel is like involved in like the sex trafficking operation. And I think that you might not even need that anymore today, right? Like if what you're saying is true and they have access to all of our phones and all of our cameras. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a girl. When I go into the bathroom, I'm always carrying my phone around, right? I'm creating for TikTok. I'm creating for Instagram. I do not allow my camera in the bathroom when I shower. And I always tell my husband too, like, what are you doing with your phone? He'll be like listening to a podcast or something. Cause in my mind, I'm like, they're watching you, right? I'm like, at any point in time, I have this belief that we've known they've been listening to us for years, right? With like advertising and stuff. Like 10 years ago, I would be talking to someone. I'd be like, yeah, I'm interested in getting an air fryer. And then they'd go home and be like, you won't believe it. I got home and there was an ad for an air fryer. So like, is it out of the realm that they're just like, boop, what's Danny doing today? And like have the ability to record, have the ability to look at my body in my birthday suit. And then maybe one day just be like, send it to her. James said something about Mossad and we're going to make sure she knows to shut him up. So thanks a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry about that.
No, but you know, I think that they probably don't even need the sex trafficking rings anymore with what technology gives them access to today, right? Like they can be recording that stuff on their own. Obviously to the world, if you're involved with a 13-year-old girl, that's like the worst of the worst of the worst, right? Even in prisons, they will kill you if you're a committed pedophile. Like that is the lowest of the low is when you go after children. So obviously they were setting up really bad situations with the sex trafficking ring, but imagine the stuff they could get on people if they think they're in the privacy of their own home and they're talking to their buddies or their family. They might say some off-colored words or phrases or jokes or whatever. Taken out of context, they have the recordings of you. Like it's over for everybody.
So what are they trying to do?
I think they're doing the same thing, right? They're compiling evidence. And, you know,
right. What's the big goal leading back to what I interrupted you on earlier, which is the transhumanist
stuff?
Well,
yeah, who knows where they're going to go on this? But with Peter Thiel, it's obvious to me that he fits in on that academic side of the Jeffrey Epstein operation, which nobody really talks about. And I feel like is a really big deal. Last January, we got the court documents, remember? And, you know, I was sifting through those court documents like my life depended on it. And, you know, you're looking for Bill Gates, Bill Clinton. You're looking for all these people, right? And there was some stuff actually about Bill Clinton. I think in those court documents, it said that one of the girls, one of the victims, the survivor said he likes them young, which is a little disturbing about Bill Clinton, considering we knew all these girls were underage. So we're not talking about 17. But what we did find from those documents is that Epstein was linked up and funding research for a lot of the most famous and well-renowned biologists, evolutionarists. I don't know if that's correct. I didn't go to Harvard. But a father of AI, right? We're talking, and by the way, these people like Martin Minsky, the father of AI, George Church, he's the guy that, pioneered the data storage, encoded digital files into biological data. He's the one that leads the de-extinction efforts, like the reviving of the woolly mammoth. He worked with all of these people and he held academic symposiums at Little St. James at the island. But what's so crazy about this that I don't think a lot of people are focused on is that there are many survivors that have come out now in the last 5 years saying that they weren't just sexually abused. Juliet Bryant, one of the only living, unfortunately, survivors now and victims of Jeffrey Epstein, tells this tale in the last year and a half on a podcast where she says that she woke up naked, paralyzed on a laboratory table surrounded by scientists.
That is.
I want to play that clip. It is really crazy because nobody ever talks about that, right? And she says that after this event, she had more anxiety than she's ever had in her life. She had multiple panic attacks. She thinks that they withdrew DNA, that they did something weird to her. And so, you know, it brings up a whole nother side of what was going on with Jeffrey Epstein. Everybody's focused on the sex rings. But what if these girls were also being experimented on to further advancements in transhumanism and AI and this weird kind of dark future we're heading into?
Well, I mean, we know what Peter Thiel thinks about humans, which is that they may or may not.
Right.
You know, or should or may not exist.
Okay,
or,
watch this. This is her. You can hear it from her out of her own mouth.
The kind of cloning DNA part that he was obviously transhumanism that he was interested in. Did that come up anywhere? Did you see any signs?
Well,
I mean, obviously there's scientists.
I'm just going to put it out there right now. I woke up in a laboratory there one night.
Wow.
You know, these are the things I haven't wanted to talk about because it's frightening. But there were scientists there, you know, and I woke up one night in a laboratory, paralyzed and naked on a table. I would like to be lie detected on this. You know, there are other weird things that I saw. We'll talk about more later. But these people were doing something else, and they don't want anyone knowing about it. And I came back from there, I was not okay. I had severe panic attacks. I was hospitalized 10 times with panic attacks. And I'd been a very, very healthy, happy girl before I was taken there. They did something to me, and I want to know what they did. And that's why I won't stop until I know.
So that's wild. That's wild. That's crazy.
That's dark. That is extremely dark. Holy shit.
It's dark. And it's like, you know, nobody is talking about this. And when you look at some of the work that Epstein funded, right? Like, you know, Church and Minsky both explored how to redesign or mimic life's building blocks, Church through DNA and Minsky through computational systems. OpenCog, the AI project Minsky co-founded and Epstein funded, aimed for artificial general intelligence, a concept that could theoretically integrate with Church's bioengineering if you imagine uploading enhanced genomes into digital minds. So even though there's no record that this happened, when you look at their work separately and then you connect what could be done, you're looking at some crazy Westworld shit going on. I don't know if you've ever watched that show on HBO. But then you have Peter Thiel, who you are bringing up, and there are articles after articles, whether it's Vanity Fair, The Guardian, talking about how Peter Thiel wants to inject young blood into his system. Now, these articles are old. This is a 9-year-old article from The Guardian, and it talks about how Peter Thiel, the PayPal founder, has expressed interest, and this was by Gawker. Gawker reported that he was spending $40,000 a quarter on a regular basis to get transfusions from an 18-year-old, okay?
I wonder why he wanted to bankrupt Gawker.
Well, he wanted to bankrupt Gawker, and he actually did successfully bankrupt Gawker, not because of this story, but he was outed by Gawker. Gawker was the one that reported that he was gay, and he was pissed about that from the very beginning. Now, Gawker also reported on a lot of other important stories, like they're the ones that first revealed that Hillary Clinton had a separate private email. They're the ones that talked about how the NFL was hiding domestic abuse. They're the ones that talked about, you know, Bill Cosby's sexual assault. They're the one that broke all those stories. But Peter Thiel was so pissed about that he waited for an opportunity to bankrupt them. And so the way he bankrupt them is Gawker had released a sex tape of Hulk Hogan. And Peter Thiel secretly funded Hulk Hogan's legal battle to the point where they ended up owing Hulk Hogan $141 million and they went out of business. So he made sure that he, you know, ended that. But he's just a very bizarre guy in the sense that, and look, a lot of people, when it comes to blood and making you younger and all these things, there's a lot of people that are kind of starting to talk about this. But Peter Thiel was doing it very early on.
Where are they getting this blood from?
So one of these companies, Ambrosia, I'm not sure how you say it, they were getting it from blood banks. And so what they were doing is they were separating the plasma and then retransfusing it into a whoever wanted to buy it. And the reason this all started is because in 2014, a Harvard professor did a study where they found that they could revitalize cognitive ability in mice, older mice, by injecting them with the younger mice's blood. Harvard, also. Epstein was floating around there.
I've seen him with the sweater.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a very weird world. And I think that, you know, you can't say, oh, because Peter Thiel is injecting himself with, you know, young blood, that, you know, he is, you know, the new Epstein. But I just think a lot of people don't realize that we have somebody who is pushing for transhumanism, somebody who is pushing for surveillance, somebody who is funding different programs, surveillance programs, that are listening to our conversations, and also is seriously embedded in our current government. And so why is this list now all of a sudden not existing? Is it people like Peter Thiel that are just too high up and too powerful and have too much influence that are saying, I don't want this release because you're going to compromise my research, my programs, and it has nothing to even do with, you know, the tapes or the sexual blackmail, but it has to do with advancing this dystopian narrative that a lot of people are very concerned about.
I could totally see them making a moral argument to justify, hey, we need to keep the list or these tapes hidden because it's going to jeopardize the future of humanity. Okay. I'm putting air quotations around that for people who aren't watching, but I think that's kind of what they're getting at is, we know our vision of the future is the right vision, and you guys are being really annoying with your list and wanting justice for people who have been, you know, raped and molested and whatever. That's not as important as this transhumanist vision that we have, and that's kind of what maybe is happening behind the scenes. I do want to piggyback off your point of like how much influence that he has in the government, like literally through all of his like either connections through funding or through his companies, he's in control, but he is influencing some of the highest people in government, from the chief of staff of, I'm pulling up this this chart here, the chief of staff of the Office of Strategic Capital in the DOD, through funding his Georgia House campaign. And then through Palantir, he is connected to the Undersecretary of State, Jacob Hellberg, as well as the ambassador of Denmark, Ken Howery, ambassador to the UN, Michael Waltz. He's also connected to the CIO of the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm going to keep going here. There's more. He is connected to Elon Musk through Doge, as well as J.D. Vance, right, funding his Ohio Senate campaign.
And even before that, he invested in his venture capitalist firm.
Exactly. And then he's also involved with the Office of Management and Budget through Palantir. So what I'm saying is we need more scrutiny over this dude who is into some weird stuff, also seemingly has a lot of money and control over people that make policy, but also people on the private sector side. And nobody's really talking about it.
Yeah, no. And I think it's just so bizarre because we see so many of these billionaires, right? Where all of a sudden it seems like, and maybe it's over time, like, I don't know if there's some sort of like a fraternity initiation where this happens, but where they almost like switch to Team Evil, right? Like Peter Thiel, you have all the money in the world, right? And yet a lot of the things that you're interested in are about, in my opinion, population control or controlling the population, right? Whether it's through AI or surveillance or you living longer because you're going to be injecting younger people's blood, silencing people, controlling the narrative through Facebook, and you're taking over, you know, the DARPA program. It just seems like, and he's not the only one, right? You have Bill Gates, you have all of these figures that are, you know, the George Soroses of the world, and they all seem to have everything that you and I would want in terms of privilege, right? And yet they're focused on like being the villain of a Marvel film. It's just so wild to me. And that's why, like, I agree with Tucker Carlson that we are living in a time where there is a spiritual war. And I have said this for time and time again on a lot of my lives, that I think that's why people really buy into naturally the Harry Potter movies and the Star Wars movies and the Marvel movies, because you see the good versus evil. And innately, we know that's going on in our world, right? And it's just like, who are these bad guys? Is it Klaus Schwab, the head of the WEF, the World Economic Forum? Or is it these globalist elites? Is it these billionaires? Do they have a secret club? Like, I don't know, but it is weird that at some point, right, they invent PayPal, they start getting their way up the ladder, they make $100 million, $200 million. At what point are you becoming a blood-sucking vampire that wants everybody's information? It's just so bizarre to me.
Right. I mean, okay, so I don't know about the blood-sucking vampire part, but here's what I'll say about the whole thing is that there are some situations where they're like, oh, this looks like a secret cabal when they go and meet at the Bilderberg or whatever,
yeah.
Right? He was just reported to have just done that in the last couple of weeks. But there's also, I think, an overall just kind of alignment of interests. And I think that's how a lot of these things happen, especially coming from the corporate world. Like, not everybody in there is like thinking, oh, we're going to go destroy humanity or we want full control of everything.
Sure.
It's more like, oh, all our interests seemingly is aligned in that we want to, let's say, do the transhumanist thing. So in order to do that, we need investments in X, Y, and Z. We need to also
squash. We need to
squash,
get the AI stuff and the big, beautiful bill.
Exactly.
Check.
And then we need to squash this other issue that could be potentially a roadblock, right? We don't want people digging into the past of some of these figures because then they could compromise the projects that we're in.
It's like with any industry, right? Like, I don't think every person in the CIA is a part of the deep state, right? I don't think, you know, every cop is bad. I think most cops are good. Most people in the CIA are good. But then you have, you know, maybe these secret, you know, bad apples in there, or not secret bad apples, just, and it kind of ruins it for everybody. So yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, if you're a billionaire, you're a bad person, but it seems like at some point something changes with these people.
And the only way to keep them in check, I think, is through transparency. You have to know what's going on. That's
another weird thing that Peter Thiel is doing, which I think is so important to bring up right now, is that we have had insane floods around the world.
You're going to go into this floods.
Well, I mean, look, like the, you know, girl. I get it. People are saying, you know, oh, you know, you're apocalyptic. You think it's the end times. It could be. But I don't think that these storms are natural, right? I don't think it's snowing in Nevada in the middle of July. Did you see the video of the subway this morning? I mean, I saw that.
I have seen the subway flooded before. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
It has flooded.
In July? Okay, but this is the thing. It's not this one-off situation. It's flooding in Indonesia. It's flooding in Nepal. You had once in 50-year floods in China, 806 feet above. All around the world, you're seeing these massive floods. And it's a known thing that Peter Thiel and the global elites want to control the weather. And you even have Lyndon B. Johnson, one of our past presidents in the 60s, at a college graduation saying, we're working on controlling the weather through satellite, and he who controls the weather controls the world. And I think what we're seeing right now is war waged against the American people and people around the world by manipulating the weather. Thank you. Put my tin hat on. I get it. But it's just a little odd. And Peter Thiel is a major funder and backer of Rainmaker, that cloud seeding program. I think we have way more advanced stuff than this. But look at the New York subway today. This is after the Texas floods. This is after the New Mexico floods. This is after Oklahoma.
And people are still riding it.
This is my worst nightmare, to die on. First of all, I don't like to be trapped anywhere, right?
That is insane. Also, that's like sewage water in New York City. That's.
Can you imagine the filth that is in that water? I love that people are just getting their phones out and they're acting like they're on the submarine ride at Disneyland. Like, ooh, look what's out there. I would be having
a panic.
It's not
ideal. Not
ideal?
It's not ideal. Holy.
Like, that's where your girl freaks out and I jump out the window, right? Like, I'm fucking off that
There's
train.
There's no window to jump out of.
Well,
they're all shut.
Something's happening because I'm not dying in New York in dirty subway water.
So you're saying that, what, these billionaires and like Peter Thiel are trying to control the weather? Why?
Well, I don't know. With this Epstein list thing coming out, it's like, don't pay attention to it. What better way to not pay attention to it if you can't get access to your phone because you got to make sure grandma's not drifting down the freaking road on a raft?
Well, I think with these extreme weather events, it does put in like a different part of the news cycle changes, right? Now, all of a sudden, we have to cover all these disasters.
100%.
Versus something deep like it takes months and years to dissect, which is like court documents and all this shit.
And there's no real way that, at least right now, with, you know, where the majority of people are with the weather, right? A lot of people don't even know what the difference between chemtrails and contrails is. So
you're talking about me.
No, well, I wasn't, although I did have to, you know, educate you the other day. But, you know, a lot of people don't even know that. So if you have somebody say, hey, they're making it flood around the world, they're like, OK, Danny's lost it, you know, and I get it. I used to not be aware of all of this stuff either. But when you know, it seems like it's such an obvious strategic plan of attack, right? Like, we're going to give them something else more important to worry about, like their house floating down the frickin' stream.
Okay, so you're saying that they're just creating disasters to then either profit off of them later, which I've heard a lot about, these kind of land grab situations with the fires.
I mean,
you're talking about flooding, maybe then sweeping, you know, homes and equipment away to then, what, take over the land later? Is that what you're...
I think it can be a combination of things, right? I think it can be for the reasons that you just named, and also to keep people where they want them, right? Mm-hmm. Not your number one priority if your house is three waters and feet is going to be release the list. No one's going to give a shit, right? You have to worry about your life, survival. So I think that, you know, it is potentially a tactic.
Well, let's get the guy. Let's get the CEO of the cloud guy.
This is.
Let's get that guy in here
to talk about weather, the tip of the iceberg. And we definitely need to do like a full deep dive on this, because I actually feel like Augustus, the 25-year-old CEO of Rainmaker, is being scapegoated right now, because cloud seeding's been going on forever. Since the 40s. And they kind of have that down to a science, which is what he's been saying. Like, we're not responsible for this. But what a lot of people don't talk about is HARP, our technology that we have there, different satellite technology that we have to control the weather. And, you know, that is a big conversation to have. And so we'll have to bring that.
LJ, let's get that guy in here.
Let's get him in here. Augustus? But also, yes. Augustus. Augustus with the mullet.
He's a popular kid right now.
Yeah. So anyways, Peter Thiel's also involved in cloud seeding. So I just think he's on team evil. That's where I've put him. Whether or not he is the continuation of Epstein, I think there's a lot of really weird shit going on. And while people are distracted with release the list, we need to stop looking out the rearview mirror and start looking out the front windshield, because we are heading into a time that is concerning if we're not holding these billionaires that are pushing for a dystopian future accountable, or at least calling them out so people are aware of it.
Absolutely. And let's do that by not getting censored and banned.
Well, don't look at me. I've been doing STEM stories. I'm over here like... Have you seen my outfit of today? No, I've been playing it safe, right?
And I don't think it's a coincidence why censorship is so strong right now, because there's just so many things that are so obvious to people. We're just screaming from the rooftops, and they're like, we got to shut some of this stuff down.
Yeah, no, 100%. There's just so much information too, that I think it's hard for people to... with their busy lives and the economy and everything, it's hard for people to even have time to research what's really going on. And so hopefully you and I can do that and bring some light to maybe some of these scary characters in the world and what people should be paying attention to. I don't know if we did a good job today, but it's episode one, people. So, you know, give us a little grace.
I thought we did a pretty good job.
Okay, well, good. I mean,
sound off in the comments.
But I do, well, yeah, sound off in the comments.
Down below.
I also just want to say Kevin Howard, a super fan. Thank you so much for signing up to our highest tier of Patreon. We love you. And if you want to shout out.
Is he a founding father?
He's a founding father. Did we end up calling it that, or did we do member?
He's a founding father of the show.
He's a founding father. We're going to have to get you a declaration of today-ish.
Absolutely, yeah.
Signed by both of us.
Yeah.
Not that you want a worthless piece of paper, but we really do appreciate you subscribing. And we appreciate all of you guys at home that are watching with us. We hope you join us next week for another show on what is happening today-ish, so we can go over all of the crazy stuff that is going on around the world, whether it is, you know, billionaires that are, you know, trying to rule the world, or weather manipulation, or James getting banned. And hopefully by the time we talk next, your account will be back up.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I think we're going to dive into everything that other people won't touch. And it could either be about corruption. Like, I do a lot of digging on various nonprofits and how they're just stealing our money. So it could be anything. We're just trying to hold powerful people accountable, and hopefully we're going to do it in a fun way.
And have fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also on that note, I just want to say I am healthy and happy and not suicidal.
Yes, me too. Just for the record. And you can support us by going on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. You can sign up for our Patreon, become a founding father. Please. As well. And appreciate everybody for tuning in.
Yeah, I want to thank our amazing sponsor, Ground News. You also can go on Ground News and subscribe for just $5 a month right now. If you go to todayish, groundnews.com/todayish, you will get 40% off of the Vantage plan. And that's where James and I source a lot of our news, and we find it to be super helpful. And we're just so thankful to them because they are also our true founding father.
Subscribe to Today, subscribe to Ground News.
Thank you guys. See you soon.